All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are here digging deeper, the next to last episode in the Psalms, as today we look at Psalms 146 and 147. A great time as we get to the last five Psalms, all filled with hallelujahs, praise the Lord, because these are the final Psalms. These are the ones where we focus in our praise. And today we focus in our praise because we praise God. We don't put our trust in other things. We put our trust strictly and solely in God. And so as we do that, we look at Psalm 146. Psalm 146, if you use the three-year lectionary, you will see as one of the most used psalms throughout all 3 years. I counted it up one time. I think it is it's the psalm of the day like 8 different times. So we hear this psalm often. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. And again, as I said in the intro, the hallelujahs are those praise the Lords. Those are literally, and in the some of the variations of the King James are actually just translated hallelujah. So we have those through here. So I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is one of the great joys of Advent. And especially since this is what the psalm was for this past Sunday in the three-year lectionary. The third Sunday in Advent, the Sunday of joy, as we anticipate, but we also know that this is what Jesus comes to do. This is why we sing praises to the Lord. Because as he says, put not your trust in princes, and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. I've preached on this text numerous times over the years, and especially these verses, because it is in these verses that we must remember that even in our world, when somebody dies, they may leave a legacy to their children, their grandchildren, or whatever, but once they're dead, all of their plans, all of their ideas are out the window. The one who takes on the inheritance may keep some of it, but it'll always be tweaked to their ideas. It'll always be tweaked in their way because, well, Grandpa's not here anymore to say you have to do it this way. And so also we see in the lines of the kings, whether it's Israel or Judah, when the son takes the throne from the father, they're not always the same. They don't always even follow the same footsteps. Because we have King Hezekiah, one of the great kings, one of the really good kings of Judah, and his son Manasseh, who is the absolute worst. It just happens sometimes. What we plan to do in our lives does not necessarily translate when that is put on to the next generation. Because our plans perish when we die, but not the Lord's. Because even though God the Son came down to die on the cross, his plans did not end on that day. In fact, his plans were really just beginning. Because there was the justifying event that brings about all of salvation for all of humanity. We have this great moment where Jesus shows us that his word truly comes to pass when he dies, unlike us, where our words end. Picking back up in verse 5, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. As I'm going through my weekly Bible study in Isaiah, we have this, we're at the point in the 43rd, 44th, 45th chapter where we have Isaiah talking about the idols that people make. They chop down a tree. Half of it they use to heat their house and to cook their food. The other half they fashion into an idol and bow down and worship it, saying, "You are my God. We are the one who made that one. It didn't make us. It didn't make heaven and earth. Truly blessed is he whose help and whose hope is in the Lord his God. Because he keeps faith forever. The idol that you've carved out of an oak tree, yeah, it's not going to do anything for you. God executes justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. As we'll get to in January and February, as we talk about the Lord's Prayer and the catechisms, give us this day our daily bread. The idols can't do that. Whether it's the one carved out of oak, or whether it's fame or fortune or popularity or things, nothing can do that for us. It can only come from God. Now, as we get into the last line of verse 7 and into 8 and 9, we have really the theme that gets picked up over and over again in the Advent readings. This is what God has done. Again, this past Sunday, the gospel reading was from Matthew 11. John the Baptizer sending disciples to Jesus saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or do we wait for another?" And Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." And it's very similar to what we have both in Psalm 146, but also in Isaiah 35, which was the Old Testament reading for this past Sunday. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. And so we see this in Matthew chapter 11. As we flip over there real quick. Starting in verse 2. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of men, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptizer. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Very much the same idea as in these verses in Psalm 146. Not only the fact that all these miracles are happening, but blessed is the one who is not offended by me. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That John is Elijah who is to come. You are looking for the Messiah, but you know Elijah comes first. John was Elijah. "I am the Messiah," Jesus says. "Blessed are those who are not offended by me." All right, move on into Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of their stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. Several things going on here in this psalm. And we have especially, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our God. Because the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He builds up his people. Strengthening the bars that protect them, because those bars are his hands. As Jesus reminds his disciples, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. No one can snatch you out of my hands. That is why we praise the Lord. That is why we can trust in him to fix our broken hearts, to bind up the wounds of our souls. Because he is the one who created all the stars. He's the one who gave them all their names. He is the one who lifts up the humble and casts the wicked to the ground. We think of this again with Hezekiah is on his deathbed, humbly prays to God. And through Isaiah, Hezekiah is told that God will extend his life 15 years. Humility brought about the blessing. But as I said, Manasseh, his son, completely horrible, dropped down and eventually, according to the prayer of Manasseh in the Apocrypha, he does, towards the end of his life, repent. But that is not in Chronicles or in the Kings. Or we look at Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all lifted up, being humble servants of Nebuchadnezzar. But then later on, Nebuchadnezzar is thrown down, losing his mind, literally, and becoming like a wild beast for 7 years. Why? He exalted himself. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all humble men, simply seeking to live as God would have them live in this place of exile. And they also understand that even in exile, God is still with them. God has not abandoned them. God is not just powerful over the geographical area of Israel. God created the heavens and the earth. So even when they are in exile, he is with them. As seen in the fiery furnace, as the pre-incarnate Son of God appears in the midst of the fire with them, so that Nebuchadnezzar can say, did we not throw 3 men into the fire? Why do I see 4? God is still with us, strengthening the bars of our gates, blessing our children, making peace in our borders. And then, of course, there's the talk about the snow and the cold, and it's wintertime. And even though I'm recording this in Illinois, where there's some cold, I spent 14 years in Minnesota, where there's cold and ice and snow. lots of snow throughout the winter. Who can stand before that? Those who trust in the Lord, because the Lord gives it, and He gives it every year. We know what's coming, because we know the changing of the seasons. But then, spring comes along, verse 18. He sends out His word and melts them. He makes His wind blow and the waters flow. Once again, He is the one that is in charge of everything. That is why we praise Him. And then the final verse, verse 20. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know His rules. We go back to Deuteronomy 7. And there is, again, I have chosen you as my treasured possession. No one else will I work with as I work with you, as I relate to you. While He is the God of all nations, and He desires all people to be saved, He uses instruments. In the Old Testament, that instrument was supposed to be the kingdom of Israel. They failed. In the New Testament era, it is the church. And unfortunately, the church also fails at times. Christians fail at times. But we keep trying because we do know who is with us. We do know who gives us the ability because He is the one who has dealt with us. He is the one who has blessed us. All right, that's it for this week. Come back next week when we finish up the Psalms with Psalm 148 through 150. In the Bible in front of me, takes up 3/4 of the page. So we should have no problem getting through that in 15 minutes or so. But also, as we get into the Christmas season, getting ever closer, the end of Advent, 2 days from now, the O Antiphon start on the podcast. I encourage you to listen to those devotions. Then, the 12 days of Christmas starting Christmas Day, leading us all the way up to Epiphany. All of these things here to help strengthen you, to remind you of God's great blessings for you, so that you may wrestle with the theologies around you. Amen.